The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Now, welcome back to The Last Word with me, Frank Rainey, sitting in for Matt. And it is our movie slot. I'm delighted to be joined in studio by Ro McDermott, film editor with the Hot Press magazine, and Deirdre Malumbi, movies editor with entertainment.ie. And before we chat to the ladies, we are also joined on the line by film producer Ed Guiney. And I believe congratulations are in order, Ed. Well done. Five nominations for The Favourite, Golden Globe nominations. Yeah. Where were you when you heard the news? How are you feeling?
I was actually in City Airport in London, just on my way home, desperately trying to get online because the network had gone down.
Oh, but, God.
Delighted. It's great. It's great news for the film. And the film has just opened in America. I don't know if your audience will know, it's directed by Yorgos Lanthimos, with whom we made The Lobster and The Killing of the Sacred Deer.
Yeah.
And stars Emma Stone, Rachel Weisz, and Olivia Colman. And it's a kind of period comedy set during the time of Queen Anne. Anyway, it's been released in America by Fox Searchlight about a couple of weeks ago, and it's doing very well. But these nominations just give it an extra, they give it a serious boost at the box office. You know, it gives it a serious kind of awareness among the cinema-going public and really helps in that regard. And then also just puts it into what is euphemistically called the conversation. In other words, you know, puts it in contention for other awards later on. So it's,
and we'll talk about that in a moment. But these are leading categories as well. You might run us through the five nominations.
It's Best Film, Best Actress, two supporting actresses, the Best Actress for Olivia, two supporting actresses for Rachel and Emma, Best Screenplay.
That's incredible. Were you surprised with the fact that the three actresses got those nominations? It's a huge nod to the movie and their skills.
It is. I mean, I think the thing is, it's, you know, for people who haven't seen this film yet, but it's very much a kind of a three-hander. You know, they're all brilliant in it, and they really kind of riff off each other, and very hard to kind of say who is the lead really in a way. So I think it's great that they all.
That's unusual, isn't it, Ed? Because usually when you have a number of great actors with great performances, they don't always complement each other very well. They clearly have in this case.
Yeah, no, they really do, and they're all, you know, they're kind of three of the greatest actresses in the world, and it's just a joy to watch them kind of, you know.
Yeah,
and kind of work with each other, and that's, so no, it's good, and very glad that they all got the nod.
Brilliant. And have you had a chance to look at some of the other nominees in some of those categories? Is there anything that, like, would you be confident of maybe coming back with five awards?
I mean, I'm not a person to speculate on things like that because I don't know. I'm way too superstitious. But, you know, there's some really good films this season, you know, and you know, lots of them being out in the world. Some very commercial movies like Star is Born and Black Panther. And then there's kind of, you know, movies like Green Book. So it's a really strong year. We'll just have to see, you know, it's you know, as often with these things, it's, again, the nomination is great. It's sort of, it isn't the win, obviously, but it is a win. It's a serious win, and it just elevates, you know, the visibility of the film.
And I know it's just been shown now over in the United States, but this is obviously a good sign. Like, would you consider this now to be like Oscar territory?
Well, again, you know, it's sort of my superstitious nature wouldn't sort of encourage me to go too far down that road, but it's definitely helpful. It's definitely helpful in elevating the profile of the film with the Academy members. There's no doubt about that. So,
okay. Deirdre was saying just before we went to you, Ed, she was complimenting again those performances by the actresses. What did you think of the movie, Deirdre?
Really enjoyed it. I was saying about the actresses, and because you have all three there and because they're all so talented, they really up their game. But it's such an extraordinary film, even just to look at, you know, the production design of it, the costume design, the cinematography. Like, it's such a just really, really good, strong film. So congratulations on it, Ed.
Thank you. Thank you so much. An Irish cinematographer, by the way. I mean, the film, you know, we developed it with our British partner, Scarlett, and Film 4. But so it's an Irish production in that sense. But we made it in the UK. And one of the key people is Robbie Ryan, who's the DP, the cinematographer. He's a very gifted individual.
Well, Ed Guiney, listen, thanks very much for taking the time to chat to us, and congratulations again. We'll be all crossing everything in the hope that you bring home five awards, and best of luck with it over in the States as well. Well done. It's fantastic.
Really appreciate it. Thank you. Bye. All right. Bye.
Ed Guiney there, film producer of The Favourite, the movie having been nominated for 5 Golden Globe nominations. And let's talk about The Old Man and the Gun. I might start with you, Ro. What were your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, so I think this is such a perfect film to come out at Christmas, because this is reportedly going to be Robert Redford's last on-screen role.
Wow, I love Robert Redford.
So amazing. I think Christmas is always a time that blends kind of nostalgia and the joy and hope for years to come. And then there's also this kind of melancholy aspect of like the years that's passed and reunited with your family. And it's all memory filled. So I think for such a legend like Robert Redford, who has been on our screens for decades and has always been so amazing, to have his swan song come out at this season when everyone's a bit emotional and a bit contemplative is so perfect.
Yeah.
And it's such a beautiful role for him.
What's it about?
It's
aside
based
from
on,
an old man and a gun.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. It's based on a true story about a bank robber and escape artist, Forrest Tucker, who was apprehended in the 1980s for over 80 small-time heists.
This is based on a true story,
yeah,
is it?
Absolutely. Okay. But he was 61 when he was apprehended. Now, Robert Redford plays him slightly older, but he also had two accomplices who were both getting on in age, so they were dubbed the Over the Hill Gang. So the idea was that this bank robber was incredibly polite and very suave and very calm, and so people were like, yeah, he robbed him, but I mean, he was a real gentleman. So such a perfect role for Redford, who has that charm and that wry wit and that kind of twinkle in his eye, and is just, he's so smooth, but is also a bit mischievous. So you can absolutely see him doing this to going up to a bank teller and kind of half flirting with her a little bit, and then stealing all her money,
walking out with millions.
Yeah.
What did you make of it, Adair? Because it's a very good cast as well. Aside from Robert Redford, we have Danny Glover's there, Tom Waits. Like, what did you?
I really enjoyed it. I just thought there are some actors out there who just naturally exude warmth and charm, and this film is just packed to the brim with them. As well as Redford, like you mentioned, Danny Glover as well,
Casey Affleck.
Yeah, Tom Waits and Sissy Spacek, who plays his character's kind of love interest. There's just so much pleasantness about this movie. There's kind of the cat and mouse chase aspect of it, which is a lot of fun. There's, like I said, the romance plot with Sissy Spacek, which is just really nice and sweet. You see him hanging out with his two accomplices, and they have like great back and forths and really like very funny conversations. And what I like about this film as well, which kind of makes it Christmassy, you know, like Ro was saying there, is it never gets too dull or dark or heavy, or goes into like, is this an addiction that he has, and is he like, you know, this kind of hard criminal? It's nothing like that. It's just trying to like have a bit of fun, and it's a really nice kind of running length as well. It's 93 minutes long, so it's not perfect for just kind of a good little, you know, movie outing that you'll come out kind of beaming from.
Right. I'm a big fan of Casey Affleck. I know people are probably more familiar with his brother. What's his performance like in this movie, Ro?
Yeah, so he plays the man who's investigating these crimes and is kind of embarrassed that this older man keeps getting away with all of these things. I think Casey Affleck is a beautiful performer. I'm not a fan of him as a person, so people who aren't a fan of him as people might have some issues with him being in the film. But he puts in a great role. I think he's an incredibly solid actor, but I think it is the supporting actors that also add to the charm of this film. I think Sissy Spacek is beautiful in it, and I think her interactions with Robert Redford, again, as you're just saying, it never gets too heavy or maudlin. But I think David Lowery, who directed A Ghost Story that also had Casey Affleck in it, and Ain't Them Body Saints, he's a really interesting contemplative director, and A Ghost Story particularly was like an existential fever dream, and it was really beautiful. So he lets these conversations feel incredibly natural, but underscoring them are kind of this question of, what have I done with my life? Have I done enough to the people around me? And what will my legacy be? And I think for, you know, Robert Redford's last on-screen performance, it's just such a beautiful question to leave the audience thinking about in a way that isn't didactic or heavy-handed.
Sorry to bother you. By the sounds of it, we were chatting about this off air. I haven't seen it, but by the sounds of it, it's a good movie. Ro?
I loved this. This is one of my films of the year, and I think it's going to be inevitably kind of compared to Get Out by Jordan Peele, because it's kind of a genre movie that tackles social issues. But I think this is kind of the weirder, more rambunctious, surreal cousin of Get Out, and I mean that in the best possible way. So it's directed and written by Boots Riley, who originally wrote it. He wrote it as a screenplay, and it wasn't getting picked up. He released it on McSweeney's. He turned it into a concept concept album. He's been working on this for a few years and trying to get it made. And finally, people invested enough love and faith in this weird story to do it. So Lakeith Stanford plays Cassius Green, who's a young lad living in Oakland, not really making a lot of money. And he takes up a telemarketing job. And he's instantly told by someone played by Danny Glover that he'll do much better if he uses his white voice, because Cassius Green is a young black man. And there is an insidious form of racism, particularly in America.
When is this movie set?
It's set in present day Oakland.
Okay. Right.
It's kind of a dystopian
alternate present day.
Yeah.
And that's the weirdness that we were talking about.
Yeah. Okay. So he's told to use his white voice because that will seem less threatening to customers and it'll do better. So he does, except it's not him putting on a voice, it's him being dubbed by David Cross, who people would know from Arrested Development, who has the most nasally white boy voice you could possibly think of. And Cassius immediately starts doing incredibly well and ascending the rungs of like corporate America and making loads of money. But he also finds out that the company he's working for is basically engaging in a form of legalized slavery. And it's being packaged as a lifestyle choice. It's called worry-free living. And it's like, you get your food, you get your shelter, what could be wrong? But it's slavery. But they also have much more insidious plans that he uncovers, and stuff starts to get real surreal and very strange in a great way.
Would you go along with that? Very strange, but in a great way?
Yeah, I would absolutely agree with that. It goes absolutely nuts. And as you're watching the film, it just keeps on getting stranger and stranger and less apart from reality. And yet at the same time, you can kind of recognize this world, and you recognize that our world that we're living in now isn't all that far from it. Their most popular TV show that they watch, for example, is about these people who are just like kicked and beaten up.
I got punched in the face.
Yeah,
well,
that's the name.
Okay.
Which is kind of mad. And his girlfriend, who's played by Tessa Thompson, who's been having a fantastic year, she wears these like earrings with all these different messages like murder, murder, kill, kill, and all this other surreal stuff. And she goes into this kind of art performance at one point. So it's kind of a film. It's a film I find really hard to talk about because it's almost one you should kind of go into. We haven't given away any spoilers or anything, but it's one you should go into kind of as blind as possible. Like I'd say, don't watch trailers or anything for it, but just go. And it's just, it's one of the most innovative and original films I've seen this year, but also it's very, very funny. Like, it's darkly funny. I just found myself laughing out loud a lot during this.
It's incredibly funny, but it's also incredibly confrontational in that it's tackling racism, it's tackling corporate America, it's tackling slavery, the prison industrial complex. It's even tackling like how the American army deliberately recruit young black men with a promise of, oh, you'll get board and you'll get food and you'll get an education afterwards or beforehand. So it's tackling all these very real social issues.
So is it a tough watch?
No,
in the sense
because
that it's not
it is, because it is so funny and because the visuals are so weird and inventive and playful, but it's deliberately making you uncomfortable with the themes and then making you laugh at how they're tackled on screen. But it will leave you thinking and talking about it and wondering what the hell you just saw, but in the best possible way.
Okay, Roe McDermott and Deirdre Malumbi, thank you very much for joining us. And I don't think I'm going to get to see you guys at this side of Christmas again. So Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.